May I speak and may you listen in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Amen. It was the summer of 1960 when Colin and Vera Lowther had just taken delivery of the Chevrolet Stylemaster, a classic 1948 car specially imported from the United States. To celebrate, they packed a picnic hamper, climbed into the iconic symbolism of America, and headed for the Derbyshire countryside. It was a perfect day, until that moment when they arrived back at their Sheffield home. Colin Lowther suddenly collapsed with a massive heart attack and died. He was 45 years old. Vera was inconsolable. She lost interest in life and withdrew into herself. She left the Chevrolet in the garage where Colin had parked it the night he died. 34 years later, in 1994, Vera herself died. By then, the garage was inaccessible, hidden behind undergrowth. When it was opened, the Chevrolet was rolled out, and in the boot was found the picnic hamper, untouched since that tragic final outing all those years before. So often, we find it difficult to let go of a dream. And while that's understandable, it's not always helpful, as Peter was to discover in the episode from this morning's gospel reading. What was Peter thinking as Jesus led the four of them, the inner circle, the inner cabinet, away from the other disciples? So often, Jesus took his disciples to places to which they'd rather not go. Perhaps Peter was thinking, where's he taking us now? In fact, it was to a mountain, and mountains can be uplifting, healing places, just right for Sabbath rest, retreat, renewal. For Peter and the others, recent weeks and the demands of discipleship had taken their toll. The teaching, the miracles, and yes, the conflict. It had been emotionally and physically draining. And so Jesus takes them somewhere special. And on the mountain, everything changes. Suddenly they are not alone. The disciples' solitude is invaded by the dead. Moses and Elijah standing with Jesus, who looks somehow different. In the presence of Moses, the lawgiver, Elijah, the archprophet, and Jesus, the high priest, this calls for worship, and worship as good as it gets. Peter blurts out, "Let us stay here forever." Isn't there a Peter in each one of us as we hunger here in church, Sunday by Sunday, for that same mountaintop experience which will leave us intoxicated with an encounter of God, some manifestation of God, some powerful sense of God's presence in our Eucharist? This is the stuff of dreams. And why shouldn't this Eucharist be the quintessence of our dreaming? In fact, it can be, if we are willing to open our minds to the experience, the manifestation, the presence of God in bread and wine. Every Eucharist is the embodiment of our spiritual dream if we take seriously that four-part action and drama of our worship. The first action, the offertory procession, when we bring to God our gifts of bread and wine, representing our willingness to offer to God all that we have and all that we are, without reservation, without holding anything back. The second action, the bread and the wine are blessed. In other words, set aside for God's work, just as you and I are set aside in our discipleship for that work which is God's. The third action. The bread is broken, torn apart, reminding us that you and I are called to identify with the bloodied body of Christ on the cross, to share in his sacrifice for the broken people of our world. The fourth action, the bread and the wine placed in our hands, in our mouths, freely, impartially, equally in the sight of God, where no one is privileged over their neighbour. Giving ourselves and all that we have, committing ourselves and all that we are, sacrificing ourselves with all that it costs, meeting one another as equals before God. The dream that God sets before us in this, our Eucharist, can end up like the Lowther's Chevrolet, locked up in that ecclesiastical garage called St. Peter's. Alternatively, it can motivate us for ministry. When we lose sight of what God calls us to be and to do in the world, you and I, we become stale, we get sidetracked, we become distracted, we end up museum curators more concerned with the preservation of a building than building up the people of God. The dream that God sets before us in this Eucharist is at the heart of the job you and I are called to be and to do. Next Wednesday is Ash Wednesday and the beginning of Lent, a time of preparation when we can reflect on the mountaintop dream, which is this Eucharist, and ask ourselves whether, as a church, we live out that dream in our day-to-day lives and day-to-day relationships. Lent is our opportunity to carry out a personal audit guided by six brief questions. One, what do you long to see happen? Yes, for God to be glorified and his will done, but what does that mean for this part of London? In what ways is St. Peter's a vibrant and living witness to those who live around here? Two, why is St. Peter's here? What's our purpose? Is it to feed our own needs, our own insecurities, our own longings, our own hopes? Is ours a church more like a bus stop where people queue, a queue of individuals going to different places, indifferent to the needs, let alone the destination of our neighbour, a church of self-serving individuals? Or is ours a relationship church, encouraging growth in our relationship with God, growth in our relationship with each other, and growth in our relationship with the world? Three, what are you and I aiming to do and for whom? If we believe that without God people drift through life, then we need to provide opportunities for people to encounter God through us. If we believe that at times of major life events, bereavement, divorce, illness, unemployment, early parenting, faith has something tangible to offer, we may already have worked out what it is we are offering and are advertising, promoting and delivering God-encountering opportunities. For the future, what are our priorities? Are we called to be a proclaiming church, a healing church, a church that challenges societal values such as consumerism, a church that seeks to safeguard our planet? What are we aiming to do and for whom? Four, what is distinctive about the way we go about things? The gospel proclaims a caring, compassionate God. But do we model that same caring and compassion among those who worship here, or for that matter, in our homes and in the communities we serve. The gospel proclaims a just God. But in what ways would the outsider know we're a faith community committed to faith, community committed to peace and justice? 5. What is our story so far? We have a faith story, but what is its relevance? Could it be that what God will do for us in the future is related to what he has done for us so far? We need to spot the trends of what God has been doing in us and in this place. This is where the long-established members of our congregation can come into their own, because they can remind us of those times when God has been clearly and unequivocally at work within St. Peter's. They can be our encouragement and hope. 6, and finally, what might God do through you and me? There is always a danger of focusing on what we can achieve by our own efforts, forgetting that we need to express ourselves in terms of being servants in God's work, channels of God's grace. We all need to discern the nature of God's calling to us. What you and I are called to become. We need to reflect a balance of humility and boldness, hand in hand with prayerful discernment. We need to make this Eucharist, this mountaintop dream, a reality in our lives and the lives of those around us. 6 questions which beg a final question. Are you, am I, willing to be part of the answer? Amen.